This is the Aftermarket Radio Network.
Welcome to another episode of Business by the Numbers. I'm your host, Hunt Emerus, CPA with Parmelis & Associates. This week, we're going to get into something that maybe you've never thought of, but what if you don't actually mark up any of your parts? Can you still have a successful shop? Have I seen someone fully commit to this firsthand? No, I wish I had a shop's financials I could actually go off of, but actually ended up just creating my own here. I've never firsthand seen someone do this. I've heard of people doing this, and more we'll talk about it, you know, old school guys, I mean, there's still plenty of guys that do this. Bring your own parts is essentially the same idea in a sense, but we'll kind of get into the finer details of it and what works, what doesn't, and all the stuff in between. Before we get into that, I just wanted to stop and say thank you to you and the rest of the dedicated listeners. Quick shout out, last week we had awesome feedback on the first mailbox episode that we had answering your listener questions. So just a reminder, if you have a question that you want answered or you want to hear a whole episode done on it, shoot me an email at podcast@parmelis. Would love to go into your question, not only for yourself, but also for other people that are probably wondering the same thing. And lastly, we cannot forget our dedicated sponsors, Napatrax and Promotive, for being loyal supporters of the show as well.
Hey, did you know Napatrax is on-site training plus 6 days a week support? It all starts when a local representative meets with you to learn about your business and how you run it. After all, it's your shop, so it's your choice. Let us prove to you that Trax is the single best shop management system in the business. Visit them online at napatrax.com. That's NAPATRACS.com. Promotive has over 40 years of recruiting and automotive experience. If you're in need of a qualified technician and service advisors and want to offload the heavy lifting, visit them online at gopromotive.com.
This idea came to me, like with a lot of episodes, with a question from a shop owner's group, right? And this concerned shop owner, I wanted to look up the posts, but you could probably pick 10 that are very similar that started out this way. But this concerned shop owner, like many, felt that they were not making enough money. Had decent sales come in, and I can't remember the numbers, but big enough shop where if you look at the metrics, you're like, yeah, you should be making money. Or like doing $1 million in sales, it's him and three other guys or something. You just kind of do the rough math and you're like, yeah, something's not right. You should be pretty darn profitable. Rent was cheap, you name it. I don't want anyone to think that I'm here bashing shop owners groups. There's tons of good ones out there. There's tons of awesome resources. I know the guys over at ASOC, they do an awesome time. And truly, there is a ton of people in there willing to help. Are some of them a little bit more forceful with their advice? Yeah, maybe. And also, there's a lot of people that ask questions that don't want to hear an answer to it. Hey, I have no idea what I'm doing as a shop owner. And someone says, have you thought about a coaching company? Oh, those guys are crooks. It's like, well, you're looking for how to do stuff. And they literally make their living telling people how to run shops. But yeah, we won't even go down that road. But anyways, like I said, there is a lot of good advice. There's a lot of very smart people in these groups and a lot of smart people that are willing to share their successes and failures with people. And so what they did is, like me, they looked at this and said, you should be making money here. Give us some quick metrics. What are you doing on markup? What are you doing on margins? What's your this percentage, that percentage, and stuff like that. A couple of these guys are pretty sharp. And the guy went down through and said all of his stuff. And rightfully enough, most people zeroed in on one aspect. What aspect is that? Parts margin. Kind of going down through his listing his ARO, listing his labor rate, everything checking the boxes, nothing kind of saying, oh, that seems out of whack. And then got to his parts margin. And he said, I think it said his parts margin is like 20%, or he shot for 20% or something like that. It was very, very low. And that's when he said he doesn't really mark up parts. And when he does, he doesn't do it any more than list, which everyone knows. Another big no-no in a shop group is to say that you sell your parts at list. Just as a quick aside on that, you can run your business however you want. Personally, list price, dealer list price, any of that stuff should have no bearing on what you sell this stuff for. If you're selling it, you're marking up based on cost. Whether they list it below that or above it, it's really neither here nor there. List price can get you in a ton of trouble because you are not going for any sort of specific number. If you just tell your guys, hey, sell it for list could be below your margins, list could be above, but it's probably going to be below. And it's really just kind of a variable that you don't want added in there. I've have shops that go close to list or do some stuff along those lines. And I've looked at this before, and some of the stuff is like, man, you're taking a bath on that. You're only making 20%. Other things, it's like, man, you're making way more than you probably should have because that list price is weirdly high compared to the cost. Inevitably, though, generally list comes in 10, 15 points lower than if you're just trying to mark it up, if you're shooting for 45, 50% margin. But anyways, don't mark up on list. Mark up based on your cost. List price is not your list price. You are not selling something that has MAP pricing. You can price it whatever the heck you want. Now, if you've decided that you want to use dealer's list as your pricing model on it, then go for it. But I'll tell you, if the dealer is selling it at that list price on it, they are not paying what your listed cost is. Don't try and chase the dealer. Anyone that goes to the dealer or has customers that go to the dealer, you know what they're charging your customers for comparable stuff. Do you think that they're selling it at list? No, they are not. Getting back to the comments on this is something that everyone has to deal with, right? And I've seen this pushback a ton of times, and I've told people time and time again, hey, you know what? I get it. It's going to be hard, period. But the big thing goes like this. Well, you should just change your parts gross profit to 50%. But how do I justify these costs to my customer? Well, just tell them your warranty, finding correct parts, sourcing of parts, et cetera, et cetera. All right, I get all that, but I'm still getting pushback because they can buy that water pump for half the cost of what I'm selling it for. What do you guys say here? And this is the crux of the issue. This is the crux of why I wanted to do this episode. I feel that the biggest pushback on pricing for you guys is your parts pricing. Labor rates, somewhat, and we'll get into that. Book time, never. No one has that book. There's a number of different books on it. Most people don't even know the extent of that job. But parts margin, it's really hard to truly say, hey, this is not apples to apples. I get it. If you're comparing a control arm off of Rock Auto to a factory OEM unit, it's not apples to apples. But let's not try and lie to our customers that they don't have access to the same parts that we do. They do. Can they get them as quick? Can they get them as cheap? Maybe, maybe not. But the same parts that you're putting in the customer's vehicles is something that theoretically they could go buy themselves. The true reason behind this, and you can say, hey, our warranty, our finding correct parts, our sourcing parts, all of that. But essentially what it is, guys, that's how we make our profit. I don't think that any of your customers don't think that you guys are making a profit. If some of them think that you're not making a profit, maybe that's a good thing that you are very humble. Maybe it's a bad thing that you might not actually be making a profit. But essentially the way that the auto repair business works is like a typical repair shop has about 50% gross profit margin, 30% of your sales go to overhead, which leaves you with 20% left over for net income. So essentially, half of all of your sales need to turn into gross profit dollars. The way that most shops do that is like a 50-50 mix of parts and labor. Hey, I make about half of my margin on parts and I make half of my margin on labor. So if I was to sell you my parts at cost, I would be making half of the profit that I'm currently making right now. And yeah, most people are obviously justfully not willing to do that. Inevitably, the next question comes in, which came to my mind, hence this episode is, all right, well, if half of our labor or half of our profit is coming from labor and half of it is coming from parts, then theoretically, this would be a pretty simple move to switch this over to a full labor model. Hey, we're going to have parts, and whether this person buys the parts themselves and you put them on, which is not a good idea. Hey, it's the wrong part, crappy parts, et cetera, or you go out and say, hey, I'm going to buy the parts. I'm not marking these up. I'm going to put these parts on and I'm going to make the money on the labor side of it. Because really what I'm doing here is my labor is specialized. You can't replicate what my technicians are doing. They're trained. They got the proper equipment. They got all of that stuff. The parts, yeah, that's the same parts that you could buy, but it's going to be a trained professional putting them on there. What I did is I went and I took a look at some of my customers and was just trying to pick and choose one that would make perfect sense on this. And what I realized is it's all going to be a little bit strange. I tried to look for a smaller shop, but I wanted ones where it was going to be simple math for you guys. I'm going to try to keep this episode short because I'm looking at a sheet full of numbers in front of me here where I work down through this. And this is one of the tricky things about teaching some of this stuff through podcast is the visual aspect is big, but don't get too wrapped up in the numbers here, right? I'm going to go down through these numbers. I'm going to use real numbers. These are real shops numbers. I want you guys to get the idea conceptually on this, not specifically the math, because the math that I'm doing is, it's not your math. Unless you're one specific person, This math is not going to make sense for anyone else, only for their shop. Now, bonus points. I'm not sure if the person whose numbers I'm using listens to this, but we will find out soon if you know your numbers enough to recognize this. Let's start with this shop. And like always, names have been changed to protect the innocent. What I will tell you guys is this is a predominantly Euro shop in the Pacific Northwest. That's all I'm giving you. This shop does about $2.4 million a year in total sales, and they make money. They make good money here. Very good shop, and that was important for me. I wanted to show a well-run shop, nothing that's crazy where they're just printing money and none of their margins make any sense. And also not some of these other guys where it's like, yeah, I mean, they don't have as high of margins, but they're also not making much money. I want to truly go look at someone who's saying, hey, can you have a successful business and implement this and actually make it work? And the short answer is no. Without really, really educating your customers and your prospective customers, I think this is going to be hard. But let's go through the numbers and we'll figure out why I think this would actually be very tricky for someone to do, even though theoretically it's pretty basic. What I did here is I took a look at their total sales and their total gross profit. And so like I said, last year they did about $2.4 million in sales and they were pretty close to 50-50 parts and labor. I think it was, 55-45 or so. They did $1.3 million in labor sales and $1.1 million in parts, batteries, tires, shop supplies. But for simplicity's sake, I just kind of included all of that together. The numbers that you need to know is 1.3 million in sales and 1.1 million in parts. There's some stuff that's going to be the same and there's some stuff that is going to be different. When I looked at the labor gross profit, he's running a little bit over 60% gross profit on that. $1.3 million in sales turned out to be around $800,000 in gross profit. $1.1 million in parts worked out to be about $550,000 of gross profit. Add those two together, you got, 1.35 or so in gross profit dollars, a little over 50%. Like I said, this guy does pretty well. If we know that we're going to make all of our money on labor and none of our money on parts, then we know that the $1.3 million that turned into $800,000 of labor gross profit is going to remain unchanged in itself. But it has to change because of the parts side. If we're looking at the parts and we know that the labor or the parts sales are $1.1 million, and the gross profit is half of that, we know that the cost is also half of that too. We have parts cost of $550,000. We have parts gross profit of $550,000 as well too. What I did is I took a look at this and said, all right, well, if we're going to lose $550,000 of parts gross profit, then we need to make that up on the labor side. How do we do that? Labor pricing is made up by two things. One of those, well, both of those we can change, but in this argument, I don't think that we're going to change the one. Labor sales are dictated by labor rate and amount of hours. Amount of hours is generally based off the book time, even if you round it up, add hours, or whatever it is. Since we're not arguing that these jobs are getting more expensive or any more time consuming, we're arguing that it's more specialized work and we're going to be paid a premium on the labor, not on the parts. We need to increase our labor rate enough to be able to offset whatever we're losing in parts. This is the big thing, and I've seen this asked before, of everyone's like, well, how do I even know how much I want to do in labor if I wanted to stop selling parts? And I'll tell you how to do that. First and foremost, you got to do just like what I just did. You got to figure out how much money you're making on parts gross profit. There's two ways to do this. You can take a look at your total gross profit. You can subtract the labor gross profit out of it, and that's everything else, parts, tires, shop supplies, etc. You can also take a look at your parts gross profit, just look at that number. The reason why I kind of gave you both examples is if you segment your, you know, either financials or shop management system to a bunch of different categories, it might be harder to add all those different little subaccounts and stuff like that. Just take your total, take the labor out, everything else more or less is parts. Some of the finer details on it are rounding. Don't get too caught up in it because you're probably going to round this number up anyways. NapaTrax was built from the ground up to make your business more profitable and efficient. They provide an extensive set of tools to increase and track profitability in real time. NapaTrax offers the industry's best wholesale support hands down. They train your people on site. Yes, on site. They also offer remote refresher training 10 times a week and customer support is open 6 days a week. Give them a call, visit them, or join our Facebook community today to learn more. They'll prove to you that Trax is the single best shop management system in the business.
NapaTrax is always customized and tailored for your business, whether you're a one-man shop or a large multi-bay or multi-location company. After all, it's your shop, so it's your choice. Visit us on the web at napatrax.com. That's NAPATRACS.com. Is your recruitment process draining your valuable time and resources? What if there was a partner who could take your recruitment efforts off your plate? Look no further. Promotive is your ultimate solution for hassle-free staffing focused solely on the automotive industry. On the web at gopromotive.com. Promotive understands the challenges you face when searching for the perfect technician or service advisor for your shop. That's why we've developed a platform that takes the hassle out of recruiting. Michelle Tanzi from EuroClinic said, "I am a shop owner and recruiting new talent is so time-consuming. Promotive does the majority of the seeking and recruiting. They reach out to the candidates for you, and when they feel they are a good match for you and culture, they make the connection. They follow up throughout the interview process, and we make sure that the candidates are a good fit and the shop is a good fit for the candidates. I admire that they genuinely want both parties to win. They recruited and paired us with a solid B-Tech and Master Tech. Both left a dealership position and are still part of our team. We are very happy with the character and culture match, and both technicians have become valuable team members." Visit our website at gopromotive.com today and join the growing community of shop owners who have found their ideal team members with Promotive. Now that we have the gross profit that we are going to forego, because we're going to stop marking up the parts on this, we need to figure out how much we need to increase our labor rate to account for that. We know we're losing $550,000 of parts gross profit. We need to figure out how many hours we sold last year. Again, now I use shop management system for all this stuff. So I went and I looked, and they sold 9,900 hours of labor last year. Like I said before, we're not going to be able to justify any sort of increasing in time. We're not going to be able to go back and say, well, in the future, we're going to sell 12,000 hours of labor, not 9,900. No, we're still going to sell 9,900. We're still doing the same job. We just need to get paid more per hour since we're losing money on the parts. So if I take $550,000 and I divide that by 9,900, then what it comes out with is $55.55, 0.555555, right? It's actually kind of a weird number, but $55 is the magic number. We need to add $55 to our labor rate. And if all things stayed equal, we could get rid of all of our parts markup. If we got that extra $55 an hour on labor, we would be golden. Now, what I did is I took a look at what he'd been averaging last year. If you want to look at their street rate, you want to look at their effective on this, it's kind of 6 1/2 dozen to a certain extent. But the $55 an hour that we need is both. I need essentially an extra $55 effective. If you run like a discount model, you're obviously going to need to increase it more than that so that you still have a $55 lift in your effective labor rate, not just your street rate. This person's street rate was $165 or so. Their effective is $135 because of discounts, can jobs and stuff like that. So that means if we want to increase our street rate or ultimately increase our effective, that we probably need to go up to about 220, probably 230, if not more, so that that brings that effective up to the 190 range that we need to be at. If we were to do this, we were to snap our fingers and say, hey, instead of selling 9,900 hours at 135 effective, we're now selling 190. Yeah, you could absolutely get rid of all of your parts markup and you would make the same amount of money at the end of the year. That is a bit of an oversimplification because as you might imagine, it all works out in averages. The average customer is not going to pay any more money because what essentially we're doing is we're saying everyone that shops with us is all going to be treated the same. Everyone going forward is going to pay no markup on parts and they're going to pay it all on labor. And we know the number that we went through there should work out to be average. The exact same profit, the exact same sales, more or less. Now, what I wanted to figure out is, how is this going to affect people? And is this going to be a major issue? And then kind of run into why I don't think most people do this. And like I said, some of the things that people have already got pushback when they try to implement this stuff. Let's take a look at kind of a standard job here, right? And I was just pulling through some tickets here that he had open. And just kind of reworking this stuff on how much higher down someone would have to pay. I did not find a single one where the price didn't change. I'll just be first to admit that. And when I say price didn't change, I'm meaning within reason. Even if it's changing a couple percentage points here, to me, that's not changing at all.
Most of the stuff that I found was 10, 15, 20% swings up or down, depending on what it was. Kind of crazy. I'll give you an example on this. This specific ticket had 4 hours of labor on it. It worked out to be like $600 of labor, like $150 an hour effective on it. And then $800 worth of parts at 50% margin. It was a $400 part. They marked up to $800. All in all, that ticket was about $1,400 for that customer. Here's a situation where probably would work out in this person's favor. They paid $600 for the labor. They paid $800 for the part, total of $1,400. What would that new ticket look like? Well, we know on the part side, the parts pricing would only be $400 because we're not going to mark it up. So instead of $800, it is now only $400. But remember, we got to make more money on the labor side. Every hour is going to get an extra $55. At 4 hours, it's roughly an extra $200 in labor sales. This person is actually going to love this plan because he is more heavy on parts than he is on labor. This new change is actually going to help him out because the labor is going to go up slower than the parts are coming down. Now this revised person invoice is going to look like $800 on labor, $400 on parts, and you're going to ultimately make or sell it for a total of $1,200. If you do the math and you look through that, virtually you made the same amount of money. That person paid less money and you actually ended up making less money on it as well. Because if you look at that, that $400 you lost was all profit. The $200 that you gained was all profit. You're still out the $200. So that would be what we call a win-lose. Win for the customer because they just got the same service for cheaper. Lose for you because you just made less money. That is when it does not work out in your favor, right? Only in the customer's favor. Let's take a look at something else. We know if the parts cost is going to be more than labor, that this change is not going to go well. Now, what happens if the labor is much more than the parts? How bad is this going to be for the customer? Let's take a look, and like I wanted to do just like a labor-intensive job on this. I'm thinking like heater core or some sensor where it's like, hey, this sensor needs to be replaced. The sensor itself is very cheap, but it takes us forever to get there, right? Everyone knows these jobs where it's like, man, why is this so much? That's a $30 sensor. It's 12 hours. It's cab off job to get to that sensor. But yeah, once you're there, it's fairly easy. What I did is I took a look at kind of the same idea of, let's say it's 4 hours for labor and the part is really cheap. This one, I did 4 hours of labor, so that's $600, and $100 for parts. $700 all in. Like I said, this is a cheap part. It's only a $50 sensor on this that we're marking up to $100. So if we're going to change this model, we are now going to go from $100 to $50. So we're only going to have $50 in part sales. But remember, we need to sell more labor, or we need to sell labor for a higher rate. And so instead of selling that labor for $600, we're now going to sell that labor for $800. We lost $50 on the part side of it. We gained $200 on the labor side. We are ahead $150. So we're happy. Is that customer happy? No, probably not. And depending on what that job is, you might not lose that job. Because if it's not really that comparable on it, then they say, hey, that might be what it is. If that is a marketed service, if that is a common job, if that is a maintenance service on it, could you give the perception that you're expensive? Yeah, because you are going to start to price yourself out of the market and price yourself way out of the market the other way on some of these services that you're going to be a little bit cheaper in. And this brings to the crux of the issue of why I don't see more people doing this, is I don't think that people would be brave enough to stand on this and say, hey, you're not going to be able to compare me to other people. You're going to win some, you're going to lose some. This is how I run my business. What I think you're going to end up doing is the ones that are good for the customer and not good for you, you're still going to sell those because it's like, hey, this is the new way of doing business. We win some, we lose some, and this works out in the customer's favor because this is more parts than labor. So they're going to get this job cheaper. Now, on the other side of it, we know that this is all averages. If you were to do the exact same thing with this new pricing model, you're going to make the same amount of money. If you don't mess with it, you're going to start to mess with these other ones. These ones of these heater cores, these sensors, these ones that are super labor intensive, I don't think that you are going to have the interest in trying to sell these to the customers, especially if they get really wacky. And even if you do say, hey, we're going to sell this to the customer, I think that you're going to have a harder time actually selling this because you might be pricing yourself out of the market. And yeah, your customer probably gets, okay, this all works out on averages. But if that's the case, I'm just going to come to you guys when the parts are expensive and the labor is less. And I'm going to go somewhere else when it's the opposite, because that's what works in my favor. And there we have it of why we do this, right? It's how it's always done. It's how everyone else in the industry does this. Everyone likes to say, oh, we are disruptors of this industry, whereas most of the people saying that are not or anything close to a disruptor. They're doing the same thing that we've always been doing on this. And really, there has not been a major shakeup in this industry for a long time. And this would be one of them. It is just going to be very hard to go against the grain and have customers that are used to doing business a certain way and completely change your model, especially on those times where it's going to mean that your price is higher. It's always going to be easy to argue this when your price comes in lower, but are you going to really be able to back this up when you come in to be more expensive? That's going to be very hard. Other thing about this is, like I mentioned before, I feel that the number one pushback for selling jobs is parts. Most people have no idea what you're doing on there. They know, they have a phone, they can look up how much their parts are. Number two biggest pushback is your labor rate. And I see this time and time again. I hate it. I even hate people complain about the parts price, because there's so many different ways to slice this. Well, hey, would you love it if my parts price was lower, my labor is higher? Some customers would say yes, some customers would say no. How many times have you heard someone judge your shop based on what your labor rate is? Man, Steven, you are at $160 an hour. Bob down the street's only at $120. Why would I ever come to you guys? You're expensive. What he doesn't know is Steven sells it to you guys at book time. Bob down the street sells you a double book. So even though his labor rate's cheaper, he's going to sell this to you for more because he's giving you more hours or doing a bump on the book time on this. And the last one on here is legality. Depending on what state you're in, you can't even really do this. The crux of why you guys have to sell this in parts and labor is because of sales tax for the most part. There are other industries that do this. There are other industries that are allowed to do this. But a lot of industries make you guys split out parts and make you guys split out labor. And they are not going to be happy if they make their money on only the parts and not the labor side, that you have shifted your business model to pretty much cut the amount of sales tax that they get in half. Even if there's not a law on the books, there is some stuff out there where essentially they could come after you and probably say, hey, we know what you're trying to do. And you're lowering your prices by kind of lowering the sales tax amount. Whereas not really what you're doing, right? Yeah, in the net effect is going to lower your sales tax. You guys are changing your business model. But like I said, it's going to be very hard. Do I think that this is going to happen in the future? I hope so. And I think that the biggest thing going against you guys right now is that you guys have to split out your invoices. It doesn't make any sense. Why does it matter how much I'm paying on parts, how much I'm paying on labor, shop supplies, credit card fees, sublet, hazmat, tire disposal? Who cares where that stuff is going? It's going to be $600 to fix your car. You want me to fix it or not? Well, how much is labor? How much is parts? A dollar is parts, $599 is labor. Do you want me to fix it or not? We're selling results here. There's a lot of other people that don't sell results, and it's very hard. Sales 101, don't sell the process, sell the result. Right? When I go to sell someone, it's like, hey, I'm going to take care of your tax notice. That's what I'm selling to you. And here's what the price is. How I'm going to do it, how long it's going to take me. Hey, doesn't really matter that much. I told you it's going to be $800 and I'd handle that notice. You cool with that? Yeah, of course. Great. Thank you. Why can't you do the same thing for my brake pads? Hey, once you fix my brake pads, all right, it's going to be $600. A lot of places you would legally have to tell me how much is parts, how much is labor, how much is the book time on it, with people that are completely unqualified to even make a determination on that. Can you imagine if I had to do that same thing for my line of work and explain all the stuff and the tax code and where that came into? You'd kind of laugh about it, but I guarantee that a lot of you listening know a lot more about taxes than most of your customers know about the vehicles that they drive every single day. Also, if you take a look at other trades, I'm in a professional services industry, so a little bit different. I don't really sell a product on it. But even if you look at other trades do not do this. Some do, but most don't. If you go and you hire a builder on it, yeah, if I'm going to get an addition done, the builder's going to come back and say, hey, that's going to be $50,000 for that addition. I could go and I could say, hey, what is parts and what is labor on that? And a lot of these guys price it that way, even though they don't show it on their invoice. And some might tell you, but a lot of them probably going to be like, well, hey, why does it matter? You want that done. You will get the addition. It'll be this many square foot and it's going to cost you $50,000. Whether I give that to all my guys and they just make everything from scratch, or I buy a prefab unit and throw it up there, you're still going to get the same result, the specs that you want. Why does it matter? And I think that that's what has to happen to this industry. These cars are only getting more and more complicated. And I think, honestly, people are less and less interested or able to even process what these invoices are saying to them. Why do we need to justify where the stuff comes from? Here's what the price is. Here's what we sell it for. If you want to do it, great. If not, have a nice day. We'll see. That's what I think. But changes happen very slowly. And anytime that you see, oh, this is going to be a monstrous shakeup to whatever, enter industry, enter country, enter person in there, it very rarely is. The process and procedures, the customs, the traditions that we are dealing with right now have been around for 10, 20, 30, 50, 100 years. Change is not going to happen overnight. Also, change is not going to happen if no one is able to do this successfully. I imagine that someone will crack the code on this. Someone will figure out a way to do this and a way to do it legally and a way to do it where customers actually appreciate it. And that will be the start of a lot of other people doing it. Until that brave first person decides to be the first one to do it, it'll just be a figment of our imagination or, in your cases, a lovely episode on something to hypothesize about. As always, please share with friends. If you have any questions, comments, or ideas for a future episode, please shoot me an email at podcast@parmelis.com. Thanks again for listening to the Aftermarket Radio Network. You can find all shows on the aftermarketradionetwork.com and on your favorite podcast listing app. Thanks again for joining me on Business by the Numbers. Stay safe out there, and I will talk to you all next week.
You've been listening to Business by the Numbers with Hunt Demarest on the Aftermarket Radio Network. Follow Hunt on your favorite podcast listening app. Let him know what you'd like him to cover. His email is in the show notes. Hunt is all for advancing the aftermarket.